You'll notice in your worship bulletin, just inside, you'll see this area called Scripture Surfing. And it's a day-by-day reading through the whole Word of God just for you to take on your own. And just so that you don't miss any of it, if you've never read through the whole of God's Word, He's got it all for you. It's all there, His Word to you. And there's a guide on the back that just tells you day-by-day as well. But that's a way you can read through His whole Word. And then as you come here, we'll have readings from each of the chapters that you read. And then we'll have three messages each week from the things that you read. Two Old Testament and one New Testament in a pattern. And so let's have some readings from this past week's Scripture readings. So we'll see on Thursday of this past week. We were in Ecclesiastes, so turn to Ecclesiastes. If you want to follow along, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair if you need one. Or you can just listen. However you hear from the Lord best, do that. But let's hear His Word together. On Thursday, we were in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So let's read from there, Ecclesiastes 7. If you're new at this, if you open your Bible to the middle, and just back up a little bit, you'll eventually see Ecclesiastes. So look at chapter 7. And let's look at verse 5. Solomon, with all his wisdom here, we believe this is Solomon writing this, and in all His wisdom. Now listen to this verse 5. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. We need to listen to wisdom around us. Listen to the advice of people around us. And then in chapter 8, verse 1. In 8, verse 1b. We see this. Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes his hard appearance. We know why wisdom is what we need. God goes over and over in the Proverbs about get wisdom, get wisdom. If it costs all you have, get understanding. And that's to know and do God's will at any given moment. We need that more than anything. Wisdom. Get wisdom. And then and it'll brighten your face as you get it. Knowing the Lord's will. Then in chapter 9, verse 10, it says this. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Then it goes on from there. And in chapter 10, verse 1, it says this. Look at this illustration. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Just think about that. So if you have a little foolishness, the opposite of wisdom, not doing God's will, not knowing His will, doing the wrong thing, just a little bit of that outweighs all the wisdom you do have. It overshadows it, messes it up. And in Revelation, in our New Testament reading, turn to the last book of the Bible. You want to be in Revelation chapter 10. And there in Revelation 10, in verse 1, look at this picture that God gives us. The things, these heavenly things. Verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun and his legs were like fiery pillars. Who knows, those fiery pillars, that could be symbolic of God's guidance, you know, with Israel. What did God use to guide Israel? Pillars of fire in the daytime, right? This angel's legs are like pillars of fire. Maybe it's symbolizing God's guidance, His protection. Then in chapter 11, in verse 1, talking about the two witnesses here in the future, it says this, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. God measures things too, you know. It's a godly thing, you know. I don't know, sometimes you may be in a worship service or something and say, you know, why do we count everybody? We count every person at every event, everything that we do, we count the people. Hey, God does this. God measures and counts. Count the worshipers there. Then in Psalms, turning back to Psalms, look at Psalm 66, and you want to hold your place there. We're going to look at that a little more thoroughly. Dive down there a little bit instead of surfing there. And then in chapter 67, verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. May Your face shine upon us, O Lord. And then in Psalm 66, let's look there. In Psalm 66, let's just dive in a little bit here and look at something that we could say to the Lord. If you're a believer here today, something that you can say to the Lord with me: thanks for working on me, Lord. He's not done yet. Thank the Lord, but He's working on me. He's working on you if you are a believer. And we can thank Him for that. We can say thank You this morning. Thank You, Lord, for working on me. Thanks for working on me. That's the title of this message. And, you know, there are, I love music. I love music and I love, you know, trying to make it and play it and things like that. And there's a number of different recording softwares out there where it can allow, you know, you to just compose a song or make a song, and my favorite that I've seen is GarageBand. If you have any type of Apple product, there's this GarageBand, and what it does is it allows you to take any kind of instruments and put them together, and you can take a piano part and just work on that and make what you want with the piano, and then you can record that, and then it'll keep that going, and then you can say, what should the bass line sound like? And then you can play around with that until you find something really good with that bass line. Then you can put that on there and it'll record that on top of the piano. And you can just keep on going, you know, many instruments and things. And if you think about it, God is doing a very similar thing to every believer. You're like His song. You're His masterpiece. He's working on you. If you've come to Him, and that's the first step. You got to come to Him. You got to acknowledge your sinfulness and realize what He's done for you. And you got to repent. You got to go to Him, and then you'll see life begin. That's when life really begins. But once that happens, and then you're His. He is doing a good work in you. He is working on you. He says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." God is in you now if you're a believer, and He's working in you and through you to will and to act according to His good purpose. He has purposes for you, and He has His good works. He has things that He wants you to do and accomplish. And it says there that it is Him who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. And then Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship. He's working on us. Another translation says masterpieces. We are His workmanship, His masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. So if you think about it, back to that recording software, you're His masterpiece. You're His song, created in Christ Jesus, just like the recording software. If I'm trying to make a song, I'll create it in GarageBand. So I'll take that GarageBand and I'll create a song and try to do every little part and do all this work on it. And you are His song, created in Christ Jesus. That's where He works. He's put you in Christ, and now He's working on you in Christ Jesus. What for? So that you'll be a beautiful song. What for? So that He'll compose this beautiful song You see, he's prepared in advance all these works for you to do any given day. Every time you have breath, anytime you wake up, he's got a full day of the works that he has planned for you, that he has prepared in advance. I don't know when he does it. Maybe you're sleeping or something. But he's got every work planned out, everything that he wants you to walk in, every good work that he wants you to do that day. He's got it all planned out and ready for you. And, you know, so he's composed you that song and all the good works he's got for you that day. And then it's kind of like he just hits the play button. You wake up in the morning, it's time for you to walk in all those good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. But you know what? The sad thing is, it's up to you. The sad thing is, you can either surrender and live out that song and be the song that he made you to be that day. Or the sad thing is, you can kind of make your own music. You can say, I don't like this part of the works that he's got for me today. I'm going to do this. Or I don't like that. I'm going to do this. And of course, we're out of harmony and we sound terrible and we ruin the song that way. But who is it? So who is it that does the work here? Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose, his good purpose." And then it says in Ephesians, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do." So he's doing all these good works in us and he's working through us. So who is it that is doing these works through me? But then at the same time, God also tells us, work out your salvation. And as we just read in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so who is it? Is it me or is it him? Is it you or is it him? Who's doing the work? Who's doing this awesome work that he desires in and through you? Well, it's both. It's both and. I've heard it said before, we're to pray like a Calvinist and work like an Arminian. And that just means we're to pray like it all depends on God. And it does. And it's him working through us. It's him. And we're to surrender like it's all God. And then on the same hand, we're to work like it's all dependent on us. But it's both. That's a mystery. I don't understand it. Jesus is fully God and fully man. I don't understand it. God is one. He exists in three persons. Each person is fully God. Can't comprehend it. But they're both true. So he's working in you and through you to do the good works he has prepared for you. And so he's working on you and it's him. But then it's also you. You are to obey and you are to act according to his good purpose. And we see this in Psalm 66. So, who is it? It's both and. And here are some things you can do do your part, though, we see in Psalm 66. He's working on you. He's doing it. But here's some things you can do in Psalm 66. Let's look at it. First of all, in these first four verses, you can praise him. You can praise him. It says this, "For the director of music, a psalm. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name." So, one thing you can do your part as he's working on you and he's doing his work, here's one thing you can do your part is praise him. Praise him. And in that first verse, shout for joy to God. Just think about that. How often do you do that? Do you shout for joy to him? I know we don't do it too much in here. I don't hear a lot of shouting in here. Do you do it on your own? Do you shout for joy to the Lord when you're alone? Shout for joy to God, all the earth. That's a call for everybody with an exclamation point. Sing the glory of his name. You know, the name is the sum of who he is. So sing the glory of who God is. Sing about, take every one of his attributes, all that he is, and sing it. Sing it to him. Now, you did do that this morning. We're doing that in here, aren't we? The choir was doing that. We're doing that. And what did the choir just sing about? Not halfway. Sing him. Sing to him with all you got. Sing the glory due to him. So sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Make his praise glorious. You know, I'm guilty sometimes of not making His praise glorious. I'm guilty sometimes of just sitting here in the congregation and just kind of halfway is the name of the song, halfway singing a little bit. And is that making His praise glorious with an exclamation point? What about you? When you just sang a few minutes ago, were you making His praise glorious? Were you giving Him all you got? Maybe you're guilty sometimes too. Are you making His praise glorious? We see that there in that second verse. And then verse 3, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Tell Him that. Tell Him. Praise Him. Tell Him, God, how awesome are your deeds. Give Him praise for what He's done. Look at what He's done in your life. Look at the last thing that He's done. Give Him praise for it. How awesome are your deeds. Tell Him that. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. And then in verse 4, all the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. You may be saying, no, they don't. A lot of people don't turn to the Lord. But you know, all His creation does. The mountains, we're given this imagery of the trees clap their hands before the Lord, and everything gives Him praise. And all people, we have opportunity to, but we will all bow down to Him one day. God tells us in His Word, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you can either do it now or later. Somebody who's fallen into Hinduism or Islam or whatever, they could do it now or later. But one day, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ and every tongue will confess that He is Lord, that He is God. And we have a choice. We can do it now or we will do it later. But right now, we have the free will option. We can do it on our own right now. And so, all the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. So, He is working on you. He is working on me. What are some things you can do to do your part? Praise Him. What else can you do? See what He has done. Look at verses 5 through 7. See what He has done. Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They pass through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Well, what's God saying there? Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. God is always working on you. He's always working in your behalf. He's always working in people's behalf. Do we have the eyes to see? Maybe you need to pray for spiritual eyes. God, open my spiritual eyes so I can see what You're doing in my life and in everybody's life around me and how You're working everywhere. I want to see it, Lord. I want to see You. Maybe you got to pray for spiritual eyes. Maybe you got to pray for more faith to see. But come and see is the call. Come and see it. Come and see what God has done, how awesome His works in man's behalf. Verse 6, here's one thing He's done. He turned the sea into dry land, and they passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. And so, one thing's mentioned that He's done there. People got to see Him dry up that sea like that. Well, you think about it in your own life. See what He has done. In your own life, yes, there's countless biblical examples of what He's done. But what did He do yesterday in your life? What did He do this morning? Notice it. David said this morning, David, South Korea David, Del Prado, said this morning in our Bible study that Oswald Chambers, had mentioned one time that God is in the mundane. You know, something about that. And we talked about that in our young adult Bible study this morning, how every little detail. Look for Him. Where is He? He's working in every little detail. Do you see it? Or do you just say, oh, that's a nice coincidence. Oh, look what happened here. Oh, what a coincidence. Do you see what he has done? What's the last thing you saw that he's done? The last thing that's on my mind is last night I was trying to get in touch with Allison. We were gonna go on a date that night, and we were trying to decide on a movie. And I had called two or three times, and I needed to call my mom and let her know, what time we would be coming. And I couldn't get in touch with Allison, and I didn't even think about it. So I actually decided, I'll pray before I call this time. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, could I please get in touch with Allison? And just as I prayed that, the phone rang, and it was her. Okay? Do you see God? And maybe that didn't impress y'all, but that impressed me. That's God. That's Him. Do you see Him working in every little detail? Christian and John Allen and I were eating at Texas Roadhouse the other night, and we were coming back, and we saw a terrible accident on the Atlanta Highway, and one car was turned over, and the roof was off of it, and then another car was completely demolished, and the news was there and everything. And so we just prayed. We prayed for those people and everything. Who's to say? Do you see what God has done? How do I know He did? We thank the Lord that He protected us. And I had the thought. I said, "Hey, what if we weren't sharing pocket crosses at Texas Roadhouse?" It took us a good bit of extra time. We gave out quite a few pocket crosses and talked to people and talked to our waitress and talked to a group of ladies outside afterward. What if we had just not obeyed the Lord, not shared any pocket crosses and just left? Would that have been us right there? I don't know. Do you see Him in the little things? See what He has done. What's the last thing you saw Him do? Well, what else can we do? He is working on you. Well, what's your part? Praise Him. See what He has done. Next, thank Him for working on you. Thank Him for working on you. We see that in verses 8 through 12. Look at this. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison. But look back at verse 8. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. How do I know the other night He didn't preserve our lives? There's another young man that I know. The Lord has preserved his life many times. Doctors would say he should have been dead. But the Lord has preserved his life over and over with impossible things. So He preserves my life for praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Verse 10, for You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. And here's the part where we can thank Him for working on us. We might not like it. It might not feel good. But we can thank Him for working on us in these verses. Verse 10 and following. For You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But You brought us to a place of abundance. Wow. We can thank Him for working on us. He is working on you. He's preserved our lives. I've heard it said before that there are no roses without pruning, and there are no diamonds without pressure, and there's no gold without fire. He's working on you. We can thank Him for working on us, for the pressure, for the fire. And next, what else can we do as He's working on us? Offer Him what you think He deserves. Now, the choir sang about this, and I loved it, in the halfway song. The choir was saying, He deserves all. give all to Him. That's what the choir was singing about. But it's up to you. The choice is yours. And we do that, don't we? We offer Him what we think we deserve. If we give Him little, it must be what we think of Him. If we give Him our all, if we give Him all we have, it must be what we think of Him. It's the same thing with Cain and Abel. They both had an opportunity to make an offering to the Lord. Well, Cain just gave him some of his resources. Cain gave him some. Abel gave him his best. Abel gave him the fat portions, the very best portions of all he had. He said, "This is what I think of my God. I love you, God. Here's everything." And God was very pleased with Abel's offerings out of love, giving him his all. And God was very displeased with Cain's offerings, just giving him some of what he's got. Well, you have that choice too. Offer him what you think he deserves. We see that in verses 13 to 15. "I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and will fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke. When I was in trouble, I will sacrifice fat animals to you." Now this, the psalmist here, he wants to give a lot to the Lord. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats." That's what he thinks of his God. He loves his God. He's going to offer him a lot. "What do you offer him? Offer him what you think he deserves, and your life will reflect that. Whatever you offer him, that's what you think of him. So what do you give to him?" I need to ask myself that this morning. What do I offer him? What do I give him? You need to ask that this morning. What do you give to him? What do you want to give to him? Maybe you haven't been given what you want to give to him. What do you want to offer him? Well, you know, his call, we just looked at this in the Young Adult Bible study. His call to us, Romans 12, is to offer everything, our all. To say, here's the altar, and you give God your offering on the altar. But not to just give him my time and my talents and my resources, even all my finances. I'll put it all on the altar. Every penny I got, I'll put it all on there. And my wife, Allison, my children, Janelle and Anna and Christian, and all my possessions, home, car, my dreams. Yeah, you can put it all on there. But God says, offer your body, your whole life. It's all of you. Everything I just mentioned. In your whole body, your temple, everything. Just saying, "Lord, I'm yours." Becca said it this morning. White flag. I surrender. I give you my all. Maybe that's what you want to offer. And that's what we're called to offer in Romans 12. Let us offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And then the cool thing about it is all the other offerings that they usually had to die, and then that was a sacrifice to the Lord. And the cool thing about being a living sacrifice is once you've given him all, you're still alive. And then he can, if you're totally surrendered to him, he can take you and use you for whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants with you. Because you gave your whole life to him. And that's a daily thing. Jesus said, "If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself." That means to cease to exist yourself. Your own agenda, your own will, your own way. It means being surrendered. Jesus said, "If anybody wants to come after me, he must deny himself, cease to exist." You don't even exist anymore. Deny himself and take up his cross. And that's death. Death to self. You're gone. You don't even live anymore. Take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus calls us, and he said daily, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Just a moment-by-moment thing, complete surrender to him. So offer him what you think he deserves. And finally, praise him for hearing your prayer. We can do that as God's working on us. We can praise him. We can see what he's done. We can thank him for working on us. We can offer him what you think he deserves. And you can praise him for hearing your prayer. We see that in verse 16 to 20. "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer, withheld his love from me." Praise him for hearing your prayer. Now, first you got to deal with sin. If you got sin, yeah, the only prayer he wants to hear is, "Hello? Are you sorry about that? Do you want to repent? Do you want to turn from that?" That's what he's listening for. So go there first. Be prayed up in confession, and so you're cleansed from your sin, and then let him hear your prayer about everything else. And in that model prayer, Jesus prayed, he said, he gave us a model for how to pray, and one thing he said in it was, Pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is he saying? Prayer of confession. Spend some time in your prayer confessing before the Lord, coming clean before him so he can hear your prayers. And then praise him for hearing your prayers. Praise him for hearing these little prayers. When I prayed last night, Lord, I prayed I'd get in touch with Allison, and then boom, she called me. You think I was praising him? Lord, thank you. How cool is that? I didn't even have to dial. Praise you, Lord. So often in traffic, I'll be driving, and you know how you want to put on that right-hand blinker, and you want to get over to the right because you need to switch lanes, but the traffic is packed up in that right lane. And I always think nobody's going to let me in. As soon as I turn on my blinker, they're going to speed up and close the spot if I turn on my blinker. But you know what I've discovered? So many times when I just say, Lord, would you please open up a spot for me? That car backs up. I just go right over. Praise him for answering your prayers. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for working on us. Oh, Lord, may we do our part. Help us to praise you, to see what you have done. Look around. Give us spiritual eyes to see all that you're doing in the details, the little mundane. Help us to thank you for working on us even when it's painful, because you're refining us like fire and into gold and diamonds, and we thank you. And Lord, help us to offer you, Lord, our best, our all, Lord, because we love you. And Lord, we praise you for hearing our prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris is going to lead us in a song, and maybe you're offering him your life this morning. Maybe that's you. Well, if you're doing that, if you're saying, Jesus, I am yours. I want to follow you. I give my life to you. When Chris leads us in this song, here's your job. Here's how you prove it. Prove it to him. Prove your repentance. The Apostle Paul talked about that. And stand up out of your seat in the book of Acts. Stand up out of your seat. And when Chris leads us in this song, if you're giving your life to Jesus, you want to follow him, now you just step out of your seat and you come down here and you share that. Maybe you need to come and pray at the altar about that. Maybe you need to pray about your relationship to him. You can get on your knees at your seat and pray about your relationship to him. Maybe he's been on to you about joining a church, and maybe you just attend at different times, but you know he wants you to join a church and be here. And maybe he's told you, this is the church. Well, this is the time. Come when Chris leads us. Maybe you feel like you're too hit or miss. Maybe you know God says, do not forsake the meeting together of the believers. And you know he says in Acts, be devoted to the fellowship, to each other. And that we need to be together because we're the body. And maybe you feel like you've been too hit or miss. Like every once in a while, you'll come, you'll be with his people. Why don't you make a new commitment? Why don't you pray about that right now? And as Chris leads us, why don't you go ahead and tell the Lord, Lord, I give you my all. I'm going to start coming. I'm going to start being here. I'm going to find my Bible study group. I'm going to be there every time that we meet together. Maybe that's you. I don't know what the Lord's telling you. Maybe he's telling you to share him more. Maybe you don't feel like you've been making disciples, which is all of our job together as one body, making disciples. We're all doing that together with our different giftedness. But maybe you feel like that's what he's calling you to do. Whatever he's telling you, you do it. And step out of your seat and come and share that. That's Chris Leeds.